Any of you guys been following what's happening down in Kentucky? Down at Ashbury College, or university now, there's revival going. It's been going for, last I heard it was a week Wednesday. Nonstop. Oh, that we pray that that will break out here. And it's wonderful because it's spreading through the internet. One place, good place for the internet, is it's bringing us. And that's something we need to pray for is revival here, because we need it. If modern media had been around in the days that Deuteronomy happened, they would have called it Moses' talk in Deuteronomy, an address to the nation. We just had one of them happen south of us. Joe Biden addressed the nation of America. And when you stop and look at these two, there's a lot of similarities, but then there's a lot of differences too. They both have a timeline. They go back in time. Joe's goes back to when he became president. Moses' goes back, actually takes it right back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Starts really pounding on it as they come through. Do I need to push this thing back? No? Okay. Really starts pounding on it as it comes through their time in Egypt and then through the desert. And then it goes into the future. Joe's goes 2 years. Hopefully he gets more. He'd like to stay there for another 4 years after that. Moses' goes actually on to, into eternity. But there sort of the similarities quit. Joe's was all the wonderful things I've done. Moses talked of all the wonderful things God did. When Joe talked about the future, the best you could describe it is in the words of the John Conley song, "These rose-colored glasses that I'm looking through show only the beauty. They hide all the truth." Moses tells not only the beauty, but it tells the truth. Moses' address to the nation of the people of Hebrews starts on the far side of the Jordan. And I think the Jordan River is an often misunderstood thing in Christianity. We sing songs like, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone." Even the campfire song, "Michael rows the boat ashore. The River Jordan is deep and cold. It chills the body but warms the soul, but not the soul." We think of it, crossing Jordan, as death. But when I stop and read the words of Moses before the people crossed, if that is what I have to look forward to after death, I'm looking forward to no more temptations, no more battles. And that's what's promised beyond the Jordan. I see the Jordan River as the starting of a Christian life. And the advice that Moses gives to his people, applies to us today as we approach that life. He says in Deuteronomy 11:26, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of Yahweh your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you don't listen to the commandments of God, but turn away." That is not my opinion, my impression of heaven. And as Moses instructs the people as they cross the Jordan, he tells them a few things. Deuteronomy 12, verse 8, he says, "You shall not do all the things that we do here today, every man whatever is right in his own eyes." There's a change as we cross. And as I said, I see it as the beginning of my walk with Christ. The first thing Moses instructed the people to do was to clean house. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 2, he says, "You shall surely destroy all the places which the nations that you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. You shall break down their altars and dash their pillars in pieces and burn their Asherah poles with fire. You shall cut down the engraved images of their gods. You shall destroy their name from out of the place." When I stop and look, like, we don't necessarily have idols in our houses, although some do. I knew a guy that made a good living making little Buddhas, and people would buy them because they were cute. But we have other things in our lives that need to be destroyed, that need cleaning. We have things like selfishness, pride, unbelief, hypocrisy, greed, unforgiveness, hatred, disobedience, and judging others. Actually, these are referred to by many people as the sins of the heart, because it's from them that all sin springs. You can take any sin there is, and it is covered by many of these attitudes we have in our lives. I went through the list of all of the people that aren't going to make it into heaven, and every one of them is covered by at least three of these items on this list. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your hearts, from out of the heart come the issues of life." And if we are going to live a successful Christian life, we have to do this. We have to clean this. And it's a constant, constant thing, because things come up in our lives continually that we have to put aside if we wish to serve Jesus. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." It's not something that we can deal with ourselves. It's something we need God's help with. The second thing Moses commanded the people of Israel to do when they crossed the Jordan River was to set up their places of worship. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, it starts, "But to the place which Yahweh your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, you shall seek his habitation, and you shall come there. You shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the weight offerings of your hands, your vows, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. There you shall eat before Yahweh your God, and you shall rejoice in all you put to your hand, to you and your households, in which Yahweh your God has blessed." If we don't take and clean house and then fill it with the things of God, we are going to fail. We're not going to walk the way we should, and we're going to fall into those sins that we just listed. And we don't have to go very far in Israel's journey to find where they failed. They walked around Jericho and the walls fell. A wonderful victory, and it went to their heads. And they went to the next town. I don't even know how you pronounce it. It's spelled AI. And they ran. Why? Because there was hidden sin in the camp. And I wonder how, if God will take and stop his people, his chosen nation, if he will defeat them, turn them back because of sin in their camp, how can we expect anything else in our personal life or in our church? Wasn't very long after this that some guys disguised themselves and they pretended they'd come from a long, long ways away. And they said they wanted to be friends with the nation Israel. And they never checked with God. That's one of the things that, for all the things that David did wrong, he always checked with God. And so they signed a treaty with them that God had commanded them not to do. They're supposed to destroy the nations from before them. And in their arrogance, they signed a treaty. And it led to much pain, suffering, and downfall in the nation of Israel afterwards. The River Jordan to me is like a line drawn in the sand, and it doesn't matter if that line is filled with water or not. It's a place where, through God's provision, he allowed the people of Israel to cross into the promised land. I believe the Christian life is a promised land. And there's that line in the sand that we cross from before and after. Paul talks about the old man and the new man. And there needs to be a difference. It's not something we can just say happened. And I can remember in my lifetime the many people I've seen that have made that change and stuck by it. And then the others that kept things hidden. No one will know. And it led to their failure. And I don't want that for me, for my children, or for my church. And when I say my church, I mean that God's chosen people, people that have come to know Jesus Christ. Because my church is more than just the building I attend. It's a whole bunch of people I know out there that's my church. There's a number of places in the Bible that tell us that the sins of the father are visited onto the children to the first, to the third and fourth generation. Surprise, surprise, there are something kids learn. It's not because God is mean. It's because that we've taught our children and they follow in our steps. There's a saying, what parents do in moderation, children do in excess. And I've seen that over and over. We need to decide, are we going to follow Jesus or are we not going to? Before we were married, Karen sang a song. It was written back in the 70s, written early in the 70s. She's been teaching me that song lately. Actually, we were asked to sing it at a funeral. And so she's been teaching it to me. But that song reminds me of my battles. The times I came close to giving up. Times I wanted to give up. And how God always was faithful and stuck through with me. If I was honest with him.